Is everybody here? I know you're not all there, but are you all here? I'm all set. Tell them thanks. I'm all set. Thank you. Anyway, we'll begin with a little prayer just to put us all back into the proper spirit of this whole conference. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of Ransom,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady Co-Redemptrix,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Veronica Giuliani,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This last talk is Our Lady of Ransom, Our Lady of Mercy, because really Our Lady of Ransom is Our Lady Co-Redemptrix. And how did I come about with this? This is the first time I ever did a PowerPoint presentation, so it probably looks like it's the first time I ever did one. But I wanted to give a retreat or a day of reflection at a retreat center in Montana. And I asked her, I said, it's going to be on September 23rd. I said, September 24th is Our Lady of Mercy. And I said, I won't be able to stay for that day, but would you like a day of reflection? And I gave her some different titles. She said, well, I've never heard of one on Our Lady of Mercy or Our Lady of Ransom. And so that's what I gave a day of reflection on in September 23rd, this past September, on Our Lady of Ransom, Our Lady of Mercy. And the reason why I thought, well, I'd like to have an image to show them when I gave the day of reflection. And so I went online and I Googled Our Lady of Mercy. Of course, Our Lady of Mercy comes up as Our Lady of Ransom, too, because when I was in Australia as a missionary there, there was an old Irish mercy nun who said that, Father, you know, in Ireland and in England, we don't celebrate Our Lady of Mercy, we celebrate Our Lady of Ransom. That's the title upon which they celebrate Our Lady of Mercy, as Our Lady of Ransom. And so Our Lady of Mercy is, of course, associated with the Mercedarian Order. The Mercedarian Order is the friars of Our Lady of Mercy. But they were founded because St. Peter Nolasco wanted to do something for the church. And this was in right around the end of the 1100s. It was during the Crusades. And he was in Spain, and he was wanting to do something for the church, for especially the Christians who are being held captive by the Moors, because so many of them were being taken in slavery. And so he prayed, and Our Lady appeared to him, to the King of Aragon, and I think it was to the bishop or the pope, I think, actually, Pope Gregory the Ninth. And she appeared on the vigil of St. Peter in Chains, which I think was August 1st. And she said she wanted to establish this order of the Mercedarians, who were to be mindful of those and even to ransom themselves for those who were in slavery. The Mercedarian fathers and brothers would even go to the point of offering themselves to buy somebody out of slavery, because they wanted to go there and not only free someone, but to go there and act as a good example to those who were in slavery to the Moors, that they wouldn't lose their faith, to bring them the sacraments, even though they were in captivity. But it probably was also, in effect, also a vow of martyrdom, because to do that probably would eventually end up being killed yourself. So when I was Googling Our Lady of Mercy, Our Lady of Ransom, I came across this image of Our Lady of Mercy. And it happened to be in a museum in Portugal. And I clicked on the first, and of course, we're gonna go through a little bit of history here, and we're gonna see the image at the end. But I was captivated because it had two sides to it. This processional banner that I found had two sides. On one side was Our Lady of Mercy, which she's normally predicted, as she is normally shown as with her mantle, with everybody under her mantle, her cape. And on the back side was, of all things, Our Lady Coroademptrix. And I thought, wow, that's a good... And this banner was made in the 18th century in Portugal for a Society of Our Lady of Mercy. And so the society that made this banner was established in 1498. And it did all the hospitals. All the medical care that in Portugal was done until the 20th century was under the title of Our Lady of Mercy, this Mercy Society. And eventually some of it was taken over by the state. But there are still a couple of places where this society still runs some hospitals in Portugal. So I thought it just began a whole long process. So I did some more research and I found all these images. So I found that even before, you might say, you talk about Our Lady of Mercy, because in this, or maybe I'll just go forward a little bit. I'll show you the end to get to the beginning. As you see, that's the front of the banner, processional banner, and it's got Our Lady of Mercy with her mantle, and everybody's underneath it, and I don't know if I can point to it, but as you see in the little square on the altar that she's standing on, there's a man behind bars. And it says, "There subtum presidium confugimus sancta Dei genitrix." We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. We fly to your protection, O Holy Mother of God, because patronage means protection. And so here Our Lady is portrayed in this banner with... And that goes back to the prayer, Subtuum Praesidium is an ancient prayer that the church composed, or papyrus goes back to the 3rd century, where they found some papyrus with this prayer on it. And so if they were writing this prayer down on papyrus in the 200s, it means they were praying it long before that. It's one of the oldest prayers to Our Lady. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God, Subtuum Praesidium. On the other side is Our Lady Coroademptrix. And it says, "Divore eius sanati sumus." By your stripes or by your wounds, we are healed. If I'm correct in my Latin, you can correct me, Monsignor. By your stripes or by your wounds, we are healed. So the idea of why the Society of Our Lady of Mercy had that as their... for hospitals in Portugal. If I can get to go back now to where I started here. So, Our Lady and Our Lady of Mercy has its roots back in the Eastern Church, because this whole idea of protection. This is an icon of the Eastern Rite. It's called the icon of holy protection, Pokrov, of the Mother of God. And it dates back, I think the first time Our Lady appeared in the Eastern Church was to St. Andrew and his disciple Epiphanius. And she came to them during a time of great, I think there was like a plague or something. She came to, appeared to the saint and his disciple. And she took off the protective covering that she had over her veil. She had this called the Amorphion. And she held it out to them as if she was taking off the protective headgear that was over her interior veil and offering it to them to say that I'm covering you over with my protection. And so that goes way back in the Eastern Rite, this icon of our holy, icon of the holy protection of the Mother of God. And there are some different ways in which it has been portrayed in the Eastern Rite. This idea of protection, her patronage. Notice that they even have the church, whatever place it was, that she places her protection over them. And then in the West, we have a painting of Our Lady of Mercy, St. Francis and St. Clair, by a Niccolo di Liberatore, of the Confraternity of Santa Maria del Vescovato. And I think it shows penitential souls underneath her mantle. I think it has something to do with the Porciuncula indulgence, because all these souls look like they're doing penance and wanting to be under her protection. But we see this also, this idea that her protection in the Eastern Rite was that her veil, protective veil. In the West, it's seen as being under her mantle. And so we see these are one way in which this protection is being shown. We see here that like some nobility of another Virgin of Mercy that was throughout the ages. We see here another Madonna from the 15th century, and here we see, looks like poor Claire's under her, the mantle of her protection. You'll find that also the Carmelites have this, all the saints of Carmel underneath her mantle. One of the first images I ever saw was a wood cutting and a Carmelite breviary that had this kind of with her mantle over everyone. Queen Beauty of Carmel. It says under Regina de Cor Carmeli de Disti Nobis Signum Protectionis Tua. I think it's Queen Beauty of Carmel, give us, or maybe I got the, give us a sign of your protection.
Has given
us a sign. It was fall. It was past tense. Has given us a sign of your protection. Now, of course, with her mantle, but of course, you know that she also, the scapular is another sign of that protection. This here we see another image of Our Lady of Mercy. Everybody's under the mantle, but not just the people, but the whole city, the harbor, wherever it was, they were asking her protection. Just but this came out in even when Brother was talking about consecrating, you know, Lebanon to Our Lady, that we're asking for her protection, to put her mantle over us. Then this is Our Lady of Ein Karim. This is a fresco that is found in the Church of the Visitation in Ein Karim in Israel. Everybody, different people from different walks of life, religious, even different races and nations. It's kind of the type of Our Lady of all nations, you would say. Ora pro nobis, pray for us. But it has a sign of her mantle. It's getting even bigger, you might say, covering over everybody. And then our own friars in Benin, Africa, the brother was telling me that they have a chapel there, Our Lady of Divine Mercy. And here we see, this is of, you know, 20th century Africa, that they have this statue that they got from Italy for their chapel when they built it there. And it's this continuing idea of being under her protection, under her mantle. And what I thought was interesting is that Our Lady of Mount Carmel gave us the scapular, but notice the kind of, I just saw this, the symbolism. Our Lady's hands are kind of like that, and Jesus and Our Lady are holding out the scapular. Similar that we kind of, this symbolism from the earliest centuries to even to the more modern, that this is continuing, even in icons, there's kind of like a tradition and depiction in holy imagery that we kind of continue on this understanding that it's there in the minds and heart of the faithful that Our Lady is extending her protection to us over. And always wearing the scapular has been a sign of being consecrated to her. And that consecration means that I'm asking her to be my patron, to be my protectress. And so that is very much a part of this whole understanding, because consecration, this is what brings into the co-redemption, because consecration was born at the foot of the cross, something that is, sometimes we forget that it's at the foot of the cross, Our Lady of Co-redemptrix, is also where we got the whole idea that we are to be consecrated to her. That, you know, what did our Lord say? Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And said that he took her into his home. So that at the foot of the cross, where Our Lady is acting as co-redemptrix, she's also acting as, that's where her maternity, the spiritual maternity, is born at the foot of the cross. Then, and that is our response to her spiritual maternity, is that we give ourselves to her. We consecrate ourselves to her. We, as Pope John Paul II said, we welcome her into our home. And so we see this protection, this idea that, you know, a mother always protects her children. And then this banner that I had made, and I would have shown it to you, but they liked it so much they asked if they could keep it. So And that here we see that Our Lady extends her patronage. In one sense, that her hands are in the same way, like with her mantle, with the scapular. The protection she gives us is Christ. That as she holds him, she's also just holding out his sacred humanity for us, his sacrificial death, that is the protection that she gives to us. So that was the little procession we had in Montana and to Our Lady of Mercy. And as you see, the man just below the Ave, he's in the behind bars there, to be freed of his captivity. That we are, if we want to, help bring about her co-redemption, I think the more and more souls become consecrated to her, the more they're going to appreciate her co-redemption. Because, of course, Our Lady said at Fatima, I want to establish consecration or devotion to my Immaculate Heart. And that means, that we should give ourselves to her. And that even at Fatima, she gives us a hint that she is co-redemptrix. Because in the visions that happened, tomorrow we celebrate the miracle of the sun. One of the three things that the children saw in the miracle of the sun were, first, the Holy Family appeared, I believe, St. Joseph, Our Lady, and the child Jesus, and they blessed the crowd. Then Our Lady appeared as Our Lady of Sorrows, Our Lady Co-Redemptrix, and then Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That she, she is wanting to extend that protection that she gives to us from her scapular, from the merits that she obtained for us, because this is the whole thing, that her co-redemption is where she got, as Pope Pius, I think it was 12th, said, that it's at the foot of the cross where she obtained the rights to distribute those graces, because she participated in a unique way in obtaining those graces at the foot of the cross. So that the great price, that's why a ransom, Our Lady of the Great Price, the ransom that she paid is, of course, our Lord. She paid the price. And so therefore, she paid the price, and Christ is... What happened here? Don't know. Okay. She paid the price, and now she has the right to distribute all those graces that she won for us. And of course, the graces that she wants, and you hear this a lot of the prayers, extend your protection to us. And even the priest, when he says the prayer right before communion, is that he would, our Lord in his precious blood and body, will be our protection. So as we end up this conference on Our Lady Co-Redemptrix and why the dogma, just that the faithful have throughout the ages have portrayed Our Lady and her motherly protection and care for us. And it has been seen throughout the ages, and that we just should continue on with that tradition by consecrating ourselves and as countries, nations. We should pray that all the bishops of the world would fulfill what Our Lady asked for and fulfill her request of consecrating Russia and especially Russia. Why she asked for Russia? Well, I think we can see very clearly that Russia spread her errors around the world. We have so much socialism in our country today and around the world that I think we need to take that up. Even Cardinal Burke has said, if we said that we've done the consecration and that it says, if we're so free now that we can do as Our Lady said we could do, then why don't we just do it to say that we've finally done it the way Our Lady asked us to do and consecrate Russia by name to her Immaculate Heart. We might maybe see something because we finally did something out of obedience, obedience is a good thing. So just to... end with that continue to pray and pray that more and more we'll place ourselves under her mantle, as Lebanon did, and as other nations, we hope, will take up their example. I know that some places have consecrated, but they haven't done it, as he said, with all those civil authorities being present. Maybe the church members have done it, but not as a nation as a whole, maybe as they have done there. So that is the end of my talk, but I want to have the opportunity for Q&A for those speakers who were today. And yes, Father, you have a question.
Just a quick one. Is the bronze scapular, was that a cloth thing with the front and the back?
Yes, the scapular is not a mantle like this, but it's more like the protective apron, which was in the Middle Ages. The scapular, many monastic communities have scapulars. It was like an apron to protect them from soiling their tunic or whatever. So the scapular is supposed to be like a protective apron from sin, which is Our Lady, of course, is our protection, ultimately, because Christ has entrusted us to her. Before he gave Our Lady to John, he gave us all to her.